Our next storyteller tonight is Harriet Lynn. She's the producer and artistic director of Heritage Theater Artists Consortium. I've had the pleasure of seeing this woman work. She's a mentor and a sort of a hero to me in the way that she gets people to tell their own stories and to do so in front of live audiences. Surprise, surprise. And so Turnabout is here for her. She's going to tell a story of her own. And by the way, she's got white gloves and a very cool hat on tonight. Please welcome Harriet Lynn.
Good evening. Well, this was the summer of 1962. This was the summer between my graduating Milford Mill High School and going off to college, the Boston Conservatory, to follow my dreams to be a dancer, an actress. I got a summer job. I was really, really happy to have this job because I really needed the money. Well, you see, there were a couple of things that happened before the summer. One was I broke up with a boyfriend. Now, this was really a really difficult breakup. He was very possessive. He was one of those people who said, like, if I can't have you, nobody can have you, you know, that kind of thing. I was scared to death. He was older than me. He was about 21, and I was, you know, just getting out of high school. And I knew I just had to do it. Second, our family had a real reversal of fortunes, and that really was something to deal with because it was the first time I really was thinking, oh my gosh, everything's changed upside down. Maybe I can't go off to college. And so this job that I got, this summer counselor position at an overnight camp in Woodbine, Maryland, was really a big deal for me right now. So unfortunately, though, it was the camp from hell. And it turned out that the owner, director of the camp was my former childhood dentist. And the pain that he inflicted on me as a child did not stop in that chair. He was maniacal. He looked like a pit bull. He was very, very stocky, and he was cruel. I mean, it didn't stop. For example, with the children, there was one boy, he was about 12 years old. He was very short. He loved to call him Little Napoleon. I mean, who does those things? I mean, this child, he had big ears. He was just a misfit. And I felt so pained for him. This director would take the child and swing him around and throw him into the pool so all the children would laugh. I didn't get it at all. But he also aimed his, looking at me as he was going to do something to me. And it seemed that he liked this boy that I happened to be dating. I know, okay. I met a boy counselor, and it happened. We were like the item, you know. And he was very nice. But the director had a daughter in the camp, and she unfortunately looked like the director. I mean, she really did. It wasn't her fault, but she didn't have a nice personality either, you know? So even if we weren't dating, it wasn't going to happen. But that didn't stop him from really wanting to make this match. And I did something really stupid. It was an overnight nighter, and the boys went on one side, the girls went on the other, and we decided we were going to come and meet in the middle of the night, and we were going to snuggle in his sleeping bag, And, you know, this was 1962, so we were really, you know, good girls then, and that's pretty much what it was. It was sweet, it was fun. And then we went back to our prospective camps, and the next day, of course, I guess the junior counselors weren't too happy, you know, to hear about this, and they told the director, and he reamed me. He was saying, oh, you think you're Miss Goody Two-Shoes. You think you know who you are. Well, let me just tell you, you are just like a slut, a prostitute. I mean, it was unbelievable, unbelievable what he was saying about me. I had never met a person in my life then or since then who would talk like this. And I was so defenseless, I didn't know how to deal with it. I just was heaving and crying, and even though my boyfriend at camp was defending me, it didn't matter, you know? And I told my mother and my dance teacher who got me the job, and I said, I gotta go home, and they said, oh no, 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 you gotta stick it out, you know? They defended me, but it didn't matter. It was just, the deed was done. I was just miserable. Well, during all of this, one day I get this message that there's someone who's waiting to see me, and I should go to, you know, the front of the the administrator's office or something. And I'm thinking, who's going to come to see me in Woodbine, Maryland? It turns out it was my former boyfriend. Oh, I thought I'd die. I thought, oh, please, please, I can't take anymore. I just couldn't. I felt that, you know, there were going to be recriminations. He was going to be begging me to come back. You know, how much could I take? And so I was steeling myself for this, but he didn't do that at all. He really surprised me, because what happened was, he found out that my family had this problem with the finances. And I forgot to mention before that he came from a very well-to-do family, very prominent in Baltimore. And he was of age, and he had his own, like, trust and all of that. And he knew how much it was so important for me to follow my dreams. And first, he gave me a going-away gift. It was an absolutely beautiful, brand new Olivetti typewriter. It was aqua, it was portable, it had its own little case, you know? And I couldn't believe it. I used that beautiful little typewriter all the way through school and passed, and I loved it. But then he did something that was really remarkable. He had set aside like a loan for me, so that I could actually get a good start to go to college without worrying, and I wouldn't have to pay it back without interest for 6 years after I graduated college. I couldn't believe this. Actually, I paid off that loan 3 years after I graduated college, and it was like the Deus Machina, you know, coming out of the sky, taking me out of this unbelievably awful experience and allowing me to really have my dreams come to fruition. So that was my summer of 1962. Thank you.
Harriet Lynn. Thank you, Harriet.